Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey. When they left, you'll recall that Barnabas' nephew, John Mark, went with them. And in the first leg of the trip, the first stop, there was exciting things that happened. In fact, it was the kind of response to preaching that would just make you want to go further and do more. But John Mark went home. He went back to Jerusalem. And, of course, we know that Paul was not happy about that. They went on in chapter 13, verse 44. We can see they faced opposition by the Jews. Remember that at this time with the Roman Empire, people were traveling much easier, and the common writing and the common language made it easier for them to get about and go distant places. And so there were Jews in every area where Paul went, even through Europe. And they heard what he said and they opposed him. And so he left. He went to Antioch and he preached there. And again, there was a great response, but then came those in the opposition, fighting and causing them to oppose Paul and want him out. And Paul left. In fact, they expelled him from Antioch, said, get out of here, don't come back. Then he went to Iconium in chapter 14, verse 1, where you're open. It says, it came to pass in Iconium, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. A great multitude, lots of them. Big response, souls saved. You imagine going to a place in this country, and there are many places, maybe tonight in Las Vegas would be a good venue, right, to share the gospel. In fact, we have friends that are there sharing the gospel all around the Super Bowl events this weekend. But imagine if you had just 5 minutes to pause everything and share the gospel in that event. Wouldn't that be something? There no doubt would be some there who'd never heard it before, which is incredible in this country. Because people see church and they think of religion, but they don't understand the message. They don't understand the simplicity that God loves them and sent Jesus to die for their sins. In fact, if we look at the Gospels and we talk about God's love, that's the one place that says God loved the whole world. John 3:16. He loved the whole world. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That would be a great message to share. But he had many conversions at Iconium. Verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Again, troublemakers. And understand this. This is not a criticism of Jews. It's a criticism of those people. They were so steeped in tradition and the old religion that they were fighting. And, I give them this. They were fighting for what they felt was right. They were wrong. Sometimes we believe in things and we fight for those things, but we're wrong, as they were. So much so that they followed Paul and Barnabas. They would go where he was preaching and they would cause a ruckus. Well, they did that here. There were so many people that got saved and they were so excited. And, Jesus talked about this. He said the man sowed seeds and some of it fell beside the road. And it fell on the rocks and it fell in the dirt. And he said that which fell, some of it just sprung up and the sun came out and it was gone. Some of it, what happened? It fell among thorns, right? It began to grow, but then the other, it got choked out by what was around it. And that's what's happening here. And of course, that which fell in good ground thrived. And that's the desire, is that the word of God would fall in good ground in our hearts and minds. But here, while it fell in and those people received it, they gladly received it and were saved. They were converted, Jews and Greeks. And yet what happened? Somebody came along and choked it out. Oh, you don't want to be a Christian. Oh, you don't want to be. You know who those people are. You know who those what those people did in their past. Now, he might say what he wants to say, but I was there the day he stood by and held the coats while they killed a man with stones. They criticized Paul, and in fact, so much that their minds were made evil against them. So what did Paul do? Verse 3, long time therefore they abode, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony. Look, God blessed it, not only with the word, but also granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So there were miracles in Iconium. So they saw that. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. Part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. Division, schism, disagreement. We're facing a lot of that today, aren't we? Our country's so divided. The world's in a mess, and our country's in a mess. Let me say this. The one thing we cannot afford is for the church to be in a mess. The church has got to be united on the Word of God. We've got to be harmonious in our message. We've got to be resilient in our purpose. We have got to know why we're here. Why are we doing Bible school? One reason, souls. Why did we have church this morning? One reason, souls. Why are we here tonight? One reason, souls. If there's nobody lost in the building tonight or tuned in online, that's okay, because we'll get the church charged up to go out into the world for one reason, and that's souls. That's why we're here, to share the gospel, that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed. And Paul and Barnabas were accomplishing that. They were far away from home, but they were accomplishing the purpose of God. And here came troublemakers trying to break it up. I sure wouldn't want to stand with them on judgment day. Verse 5, and there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. One thing I have noticed about the opposition is that they're violent. In fact, Jesus said, the violent take it by force. We have to understand what we're up against. Guys, we don't preach violence. We don't teach violence. We believe in self-defense, but we're not going out there looking for trouble. We're going out there to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want them to know the joy of salvation, the joy of being able to call out to the God of the universe and speak to Him at any time through the Savior and Mediator, Jesus Christ. That's our desire. To have our sins washed away so we're not carrying the weight and the burden of yesterday, of our sin and of our guilt and of our humiliation. Because Jesus took all that on Himself on the cross on our behalf. But they were going to stone Paul and Barnabas, and so what did they do? Well, what could they do? They had to leave. At some point, we got to know when it's time to go. Paul and Barnabas reached that point. Verse 6, they became aware of it. They fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, to the region that lieth round about. And there, what did they do? They preached the gospel. You know why? Because there's people there that hadn't heard it either. The great missionary said no one should hear the gospel twice before everyone's heard it once. Of course, we know that's not the case. There are people in the world who've not heard the gospel, in our city maybe, who have never heard the gospel, clearly explained so that they could receive it. And so we share the gospel. They preached the gospel. They moved on. They found another place. They preached there. And when they got there, guess what they found? It says in verse 8, there sat a certain man at Lystra. He was impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. Imagine that. Doesn't tell us how old he is, but it says didn't say he was a boy. It said he was a man. He was grown. I imagine his feet being crippled and curled and his legs being thin and just barely even there. because there's no muscle tone, because they weren't used. They didn't have to hold up the frame or carry the frame, and so they're just kind of there. But he heard Paul preach, the Bible says, right? Verse number 9, and Paul, steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. I mean, can you see the look in this man's eyes as he looked at Paul and wondered if this, excuse me, God of the universe, if this miracle man Jesus could heal him too? As he spoke about the works of Jesus, even raising from the dead, walking on water, water to wine, healing the dumb and the deaf and the blind and the lame. And I see that man there just listening to this and not being disgruntled and saying, well, why doesn't he heal me? But wondering, will he heal me? So many times we wonder, why not me? Why don't I get it? Well, here's the question. Why wouldn't you get it? How about we turn the expectation and hope and faith of God and say, God, will you do it? Instead of being mad that he hasn't done it yet. But Paul saw that he had that look in his eye. Look at what he says in verse 10. Paul said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. Now, I don't know if there's anything missing in this verse. But I imagine if I was that man sitting there who had never walked, I probably would have at least said, who, me? But the Bible says that he stood up and he leaped and he walked. He had never done that. Can you imagine how excited he was? How about his mama, how excited she was? And his family, how excited they were, and his neighbors and his friends. And how did he get there? Somebody brought him there. They were excited too, because they wouldn't have to tote him around anymore. Man, I mean, not that they loved him or they wouldn't have done it in the first place, but now look, he can do it by himself. Isn't that fantastic? Well, if we were there, wouldn't we be excited about what had just happened, and wouldn't we praise God for what he had done in this man's life? Thinking nothing for ourselves, because look at what God has done for him. Is that what happened? Verse number 11, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They'd never seen anything like that happen before. And so when Paul did that, they thought he must be a god. Man, of course, they knew that man was really crippled and now he really walks. It's a genuine miracle, and they knew that, and they were excited about that so much that they wanted to exalt Paul and Barnabas as gods. Well, that was what they were taught. Mythology. Jupiter and Mercury is, you know, all of these gods that they talk about. In fact, they even called them in verse 12, Barnabas they called Jupiter, and Paul they called Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Jupiter, verse 13, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They were going to celebrate. They were going to celebrate these two men as gods until they got wind of what was going on, and Paul and Barnabas put a stop to it. Look at the next verse. Verse 14, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you. Isn't that so important to understand? They were just men. Just like us. What was different? Well, the times were different. What God was doing then was different. But maybe the biggest difference is they were surrendered. Maybe the biggest difference is they had set everything aside and said, God, do whatever you will through me. He said, you should turn from these vanities to the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Oh, God is all around us. The works of God are all around us. not just a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, not just the tides as they ebb and flow, not just the seasons as they turn, the leaves as they change, the clouds and the winds and the rains, all evidence of God. It's incredible to me. And again, I just love listening to this stuff and reading this stuff and watching this stuff about God's creation, all the whole world and how it's unfolded. Sometimes we'll sit there and we'll be watching one of these shows and, you know, they talk about all these things that happened and nobody was here to see that stuff happen. It's all just somebody's imagination. But see, you know what God did? God said, Moses, I need you to write some things down. Moses said, Lord, what would you have me to write? He says, start this way, in the beginning. God gave his story. Moses recorded it. Moses wasn't there with Adam and Eve. God told him what happened with Adam and Eve. It was all recorded. It's all there, right from the heart and the words of God. But there were these people, they were worshiping the planets and they were worshiping the stars and they were studying astrology. And Paul says, I know the man who made those stars. I know the one who made the sun and the moon. I know the one who did all this. That is the witness. That is the testimony. That is the evidence. And so with that, they restrained the people so they did not do sacrifice unto them. And then what happened? Well, what happened everywhere Paul went? Those troublemakers found out where he was. And they came into the congregation. In verse number 19, there are certain Jews, what, from Lystra? Isn't that where they are in Lystra? No, they weren't from Lystra. They came from Antioch. They came from Iconium. And they persuaded the people. And what did those people do that were worshiping Paul and they were about to erect a statue to him and give him gifts and put a garland on his head and around his neck? Now they want to do what? They wanted to kill him. God, we can't be so easily persuaded. We cannot be so easily persuaded. By the way, you know, with all the politics that's going on in our country, there are people that are trying to persuade us for the next, 9 months? They'll be on your television and radio in the corner near you trying to convince you I'm the right one. But we've got to be mindful and we've got to pray and we've got to be led of God and not easily persuaded. As these people were easily persuaded, they went from worshiping him to wanting to kill him. In fact, they stoned him and drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. I want you to consider that. They threw rocks at him, big rocks. Imagine Paul, when he got some time to reflect on it, must have thought about Stephen as he stood by holding the coats of those who threw the rocks at Stephen. And now here he is. You can imagine they thought he was dead, drug him out of the city. What does that tell you? That means he's bloody and bruised and unresponsive, barely alive. If he was alive at all, they thought, well, at least we can bring him out here. He could die out here. The apostles, the disciples, it says in verse 20, stood about him. I think of so many times where we've done that in a hospital room as they lay in that bed and there's, you know, friends and family and church members maybe gathered around that bed, supporting them, encouraging them, praying for them. The disciples were there around Paul. And they thought he was dead too. Probably somebody said, he's still breathing. Maybe somebody got some cloth and tried to wash his wounds. Try to hold his head up and comfort him. Because that's what we would do, isn't it? It says he stood up, but I don't think it was so quick like we read it. I see his injuries and I see that he's at least stunned. But it says he rose up and came into the city. They drug him out of the city and he got back up and came back in. But you know what he and Barnabas decided? Must be time to go. You see, they'd already left one city where they were going to stone him, and now he's been stoned, and they say, we can't stay here. It's time to go. We have to know when it's time to go. So they left Lystra. Verse 21 says they preached in Derbe. And then, look at verse 21, and then they returned again to Lystra. He went right back. And then he went where? Iconium. And they expelled him from Antioch. He went back there too. You know why? Because we got to preach. Because the message has to be shared. We're to preach even when we're opposed. We're to preach even when we're attacked. And if we can't preach here, we need to go where we can preach. That's it. We got to find some place to preach because that's who we are. It's what God's called us. I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about Christians. We're to share the message of Jesus Christ. To share the gospel. To tell people how to be saved. To tell them now is the day of salvation. And if we can't preach here, we must preach somewhere else. And follow the example of Paul. We can always go back and preach again later. Well, they ran me off. Well, you can go back later. Well, they tried to kill me. Well, you can go back later. You don't have to go right now. Look, if it's not a good time now, you can take a break. You can go somewhere else and preach. But while you're taking a break from Antioch, preach in Lystra. When they run you off, go preach in Derbe. And when you're done there, go back to Iconium. We got to preach. That's why we're here. If we're not going to spread the gospel, if we're not going to see souls saved, what are we doing? What are we doing? That's our job. Not just in here. When we go out there. At home, our neighbors, at work, wherever we go, we've got to spread the gospel. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much. We understand the mission. We understand the directive. We understand the call. We know that we as a church are to be preachers. We're to spread the gospel. We're to know the scriptures so that we can share the scriptures. We're to share your praise and to share your testimony wherever we go. We're to be eternally minded. And I pray that we will, as we leave this place, be mindful of eternity, both in our conduct and in our conversations. That no one could look at us and say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be any part of it. But rather that they would look at us and say, if that's what a Christian is, show me how to be one. Dismiss us with your grace and with your favor. Forgive our sins and bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.